हरि सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 34. Okay. That'd be easier to start from before that.
I have a question on yesterday.
Yes.
About space.
Space.
And also, when Pradhan transforms into Avyakta, and Avyakta transforms into Mahat, does Brahman, does Pradhan still exist? As well as Avyakta?
Means your Avyakta technically, because all the elements are now connectable, means that they can be made into something. So technically there's a transformation. Mm-hmm. But the principle still remains, because otherwise how can it go back into that? You know, and Pradhan, it's just become all the things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So it's transformation.
It's just, yes, transformation. You know, it's like taking khichdi and then taking it apart grain by grain, like that. It's still khichdi, just it takes up a lot more space than it did in the pot.
I think in the same space we have these three transformations, but only in the space we have Mahat, which is existing. And then, you know, when the time for dissolution comes, then it goes back into Mahat, into Avyakta, and Avyakta into Pradhan. So then Pradhan is existing in that space.
So Pradhan is?
The Pradhan will be existing at the time of dissolution, when the entire manifestation...
Well, it would be called Pradhan.
Yeah, it will be called Pradhan.
Yeah, means before creation it's called Pradhan.
Yes.
After the Lord glances, but before, then it's called Avyakta.
Yes.
Only then when he enters it again, so that the elements can combine, then you call it Mahatattva.
Yeah. So basically all the three stages are taking place in the same space, because yesterday we discussed how the space is, Brahman is the support of the space.
Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how much space is taking up, the point is its support is Brahman. It's not that it has to take up the same space, because if you have something homogeneous and then something that's separated, it may or may not take up exactly the same space, but that won't matter, will it? Will it matter?
No.
Yeah, if Mahatattva takes up more space than Pradhan, does it actually matter? The point is all this happens in one quarter of eternity, or unlimited.
I mean, literally speaking, it does matter.
Yes, but it matters all along in that case. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Right. At what point does Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enter?
Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters at that point where you want to make things hold together.
Is that Avyakta?
No, or it'll be Mahat. After that. Yeah. Because then you would say then everything's in place.
Then you can work with it.
But the point is when he enters it, then you can, the manifestation, the extension of the primary is then into each universe. Otherwise, the primary creation is there, but it needs to be in every universe. So it's a non-difference in that it's just now it's that same space is taken up But now you have the other aspect in here. See, the difficulty comes is that in trying to understand this, we're very, how you'd say, emphatic that the definitions of time and space must be addressed rather than the concepts of what is going on. Because Pradhan, all these things, the conceptual aspect of it's actually more important than its time and space. You know, it's just like, okay, let's take this. Let's say we have a home. Okay? Home meaning that there is a family there, there's interactions, there's that feeling of hominess. Okay, now, how much time and space within that house does the home take? You understand? It's not an important question. But because we don't understand things in connection with home, which means relationships, personal dynamic, then we're saying, well, how much is there? So this other person there, their house actually has less square footage. But you see that the relationships are better. So does that mean because it's tighter than they're together, so the relationships, because you're more close to everybody and everything like that? But then we see this other place where they're close like that, and because they're close and they're always fighting. So then does that have, you know, so we're taking it that time and space is what makes everything. Time and space just happens to be what things exist in and the movement. If I do an activity, there must be movement. That's time. It's only with time that it transforms. So what I'm starting with, what endeavor I make, what result I'll get, who that's for, what's my mentality, that's the real thing. But we make it down into time and space. Does that make sense? That's why we have a problem. So when we can get over that and appreciate them as the concepts, not that it can't be discussed, but the whole point is how important is it? You know, that's the thing. You know, it's just like how you say, if the tree falls in the forest and no one's there, does it make any sound? Does it actually matter? If you're there, you'll hear the sound. If you're not there, you won't hear the sound. That's just the way it is. Now, whether it made sound or not and you're not there, what does it matter? You know, what does it really matter? Does it change your life? No, because you're not there. 1 second.
Thank you.
no.
It is happy.
Okay, so back on? Well, back, are we on the air? Okay. So, that's the thing, is that in the conditioned state, everything to us is time and space. But in the constitutional position, it's not about time and space. It just exists in those elements. They're not the main. Just like here, then we'll divide between Sandini, Samvit, Ladini, so that we understand the breakdown of the Shaktis, how it works and everything. Because when we look at things mechanically, it's less attractive than when it's together. But in the spiritual world, we don't make that distinction.
Yeah.
You understand? So the confusions come up there. But how does it fit? Say, is exactly, you know, but mm-hmm. that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's natural that things take up more space when they're... It's just like, let's say, according to the Vastu Shastra, then let's say I'm trying to figure out what kind of dirt I have. You know, low class, medium, or high class dirt. So I dig a hole, you know? I put that dirt on the side. I take that dirt, put it back in the hole. Now, having put it back in the hole, if there's less, now that the ground level is less in the hole, that means it's low class. If it's equal, it's medium. But if there's more dirt than was in, that's considered high class. So these kind of things have a different meaning. We're looking at it just that it's logical. How does it fit? How does that work? But the point is what's important to us in actuality is not about logic. You know what I'm saying? You have the physics professor, he's giving the lecture, he's really confident, he's doing his thing because it's all about what you can observe, and things like the mind and all these soft sciences aren't really sciences, but since it's accepted, you know, culturally within the academic world, then they don't say anything. But it is important that the physicists are at the front during the, you know, how you say, graduation ceremonies, and all these soft science philosophers are at the back. You know, that's it. Now, as he's standing there at the podium, you know, his secretary comes up to him, whispers in his ear that, you know, his wife has just left him and taken the kids and the parakeet. And so then he falls apart. He can't give the lecture. He can't do anything like that. So, but the point was, is in his mind, it's only about the hard science. But he has the hard science. It didn't change. But now he can't function. So we have to start switching from math is the actual science. That it is there. You can explain it if you want. But do you actually need to? Like, you have this nice beach, right? You know, Waikiki Beach. Okay? And so, does it matter how many grains of sand are in Waikiki? No, it probably matter how many girls are on the beach more than how many grains of sand in there. You know, what are the waves like, you know, whether that hot dog vendor that you really like to go to is there. These are more important. You know, it's, you know that there's no, what do you call it, the... jellyfish on the, you know, in the water, you know, things like that. No white sharks. You know, these are all more important. But if we came, you know, you had some nerd down there saying, you know, do you know that there are this many grains of sand in the beach and all that? And, you know, Miss Anderson will really care about that, won't she? Yeah.
So what would be the reason that all our conversations, 95% even more, are about secondary and not important things?
That goes back to why we're here.
Because we're nerds?
Yes. We're all nerds.
Damn it.
We're all nerds. It's just some are more nerdy, some are less nerdy.
Some are expressing it more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like, let's say you take the fancy girl. How long could she go on talking about makeup and the different things like that and how technical it is? Right? Yeah, but isn't that a nerd? It's just what's accepted. What's accepted as more fashionable nerds and what's less fashionable nerds. That's all. So everybody's a nerd, right? So
what the hell is happening?
What's going on here? Yeah. Means in the spiritual world, then those who see Krishna and the relationship with Krishna and the devotees, that interaction as the primary element, and the environment in which those interactions go on. In other words, the environments enhance that interaction. Oh, that's something else. I thought she had the papers in Sanskrit. I was thinking, oh, wow. Serious. Yeah, we're not. What's this, English? We just have this direct, original Sanskrit. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says here in the Sanskrit, I don't think that translation is the best one. Okay. So, when we see that the secondary's only value is its support of the primary in service to Krishna, then we see in a balanced way. But then when we think that these environments are nice and we think the environments are creating the happiness, and so we don't see Krishna in relationship to it, it's just what happiness we gain out of those environments. That's the cause, that's the fall down of the jiva. That's what it means by he sees the other side. Because otherwise those in the spiritual world only see the primary, and the secondary is supportive. But when we look across and just see the secondary and make that primary, that's the cause of happiness and everything. That's seeing the other side. That already is conditional consciousness. So we're already conditioned. Like that. So that means conditional life is the consciousness that secondary is the really real thing. So we say the really real thing, and we mean the primary. And others say the really, really thing, and they say the secondary. And what's the other motto? What's the main motto, you know, that goes on the bottle? Enjoy. Right? You know? So that's the whole thing, is it's about enjoyment of the secondary. So then secondary means it's all going to be about time and space. So that's why we're limited by that. Does that make sense? So that's why we'll naturally go into those discussions. But it's more about understanding what's behind it that makes it important. You know? So the exactness of something is only in how well it will support what's being said. Like, just say you say something, don't say the word right or use the wrong word, so that somebody will get it. No, no, but this word is used like this and this and that. But is that point appreciated? No. Because it's missing the mood that's going on, right? Unless, of course, it's a group of grammarians sitting around and discussing what's the best word to use, then they get really, and then they get real taste out of it, like that. But that's basically what the Mayavadis do, right? You know, so, sit around. Yes.
Is it the reason why that Canto 5, 8 to 9 chapters are dedicated, you know, in terms of length, breadth, and depth, you know, of the entire language?
Yes, but how is that all connected?
Yeah, but how Krishna is the one, you know, the great one.
Yes, so it's all how to connect that to him. Yes, so that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to...
He was dead before.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow, that was powerful. Just one flick and the guy's dead.
It was actually the look.
Yeah, the look. He was dead before he even touched the body.
Should have been dead.
Means the whole Bhagavatam is explaining. Like you see, the Priyavrata, and then how it has a Grihastha, Prichina Barhishat, Rishabhdev's sons. You know, Daksha, you know, and his desire. So Bhagavatam is showing how everything that we're relating to is connected. So everything's connected, and then what we value within that everything is connected. But it's important to note that Krishna is a person beyond that. Does that make sense? Yes, so it's not that we don't apply the elements of time and space where it can be supportive of devotional understanding. But it's not that time and space are the authority that's, how you say, like authorizes or, you know, says that it's proper.
Defines?
Defines or, you know, gives the evidence or, You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's not that because we've defined now the time and space, now it's a bona fide aspect of the philosophy. No, it defines itself already in itself. Bhakti is independent. It's beyond time and space. So it's just a matter of, do you want to spend the time explaining that? Not that we can't. Someone might say, oh, you don't want to discuss that, so it's dogma. No, it's not dogma. It's just we would rather not waste our time on dogs. Like that. So that's the whole point.
So. It's because we start with ourselves.
We always start from ourselves and how that affects us, you know, what space we're going to fit into and what you know, what benefit we'll get. Because time means action, means results. Space means what that's going to happen within our security, our identity.
Control, I can enjoy.
Yeah, so like that. Yeah. So basically, you can say is your space is your I, and time is mine. So that's why they become important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so starting off this here with something that really will mean something to us. I am this body, and everything connected with this body is mine, right? Okay, that should be merged along with material activities in Rudra, the predominating deity of false ego, right? If it makes any more sense, we'll just start back from here. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:12, 29-30. The mind, along with all material desires, should be merged in the moon demigod, right? Because Aniruddha is in control of the mind. That means the mind and all the material desires, not spiritual desires, because those don't need to be merged into the here. That goes into the moon, because he controls that, right? All subject matters of intelligence, along with the intelligence itself, should be placed in Lord Brahma. False ego, which is under the influence of the material modes of nature, which induces one to think, I am this body and everything connected with this body is mine, should be merged along with material activities in Rudra, the predominating deity of false ego. Right? So material activities are happening because of material consciousness, that I am mine. Otherwise, why would you do material activities? If I am the controller and I am the enjoyer, what's the activity? Material or spiritual? Material. It's just automatic. If I am servant of Krishna and the results of my endeavors are for Krishna, then is the activity material or spiritual? So that's why it says then here that this concept of I am mine along with material activities. Right. Material consciousness along with the goal of thought should be merged in the individual living being, right? Because consciousness comes from the soul. So when we that has to be seen on the platform. I'm the soul, not the body in that. Because I'm now taking the material consciousness along with the goal of thought, it's merged in the material energy. Right? It's in the body, it's in the mind, it's in the gross and subtle body. That's where I identified. But then when we take it back, we merge that into the soul, means now it's not connected with the mundane anymore. So then and the demigods acting under the modes of material nature should be merged along with the perverted living being into the supreme being. Right? Because everything is coming from him.
What's this perverted living being?
That's probably us.
It's one jiva?
No, but it's just that you're merging yourself, you're not merging everybody else. Otherwise, if you could merge everybody else, you would have already done that. You would have, all the ones you don't like, you would have merged them all back into the Lord, and then you would have gone on happily enjoying the world. So this is in connection with yourself, so...
Was it nice tonight?
Yes, yes. It was good for a moment there. That one. Let's see. Preaching, right? Just benefit, right? Welfare work, right? You know, the highest welfare work, merging everybody back into the supreme. Okay. Yeah. And the demigod, because the potency of action that comes from the demigods, they control everything. Theirs comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, then you add it back. Because he's the Adi-Daivik, right? They're the Adi-Bhotik, and we're the Adi-Atma, in this case, in this example. So it goes back to him, because he's the highest principle. Okay. Yeah. The earth should be merged in water. Water in the brightness of the sun. Right? Because otherwise, what fire do you put it into? Right? You know, not the end of your cigarette or something like that. Right? So, the sun. The brightness of the this brightness of the sun into the air. The air into the sky. The sky into the false ego. The false ego into the total material energy. The total material energy into the unmanifested ingredients, the pradhan feature of the material energy. And at last, the ingredient feature of material manifestation into the super soul. So here, unmanifested, they're taking as pradhan. So avyakta is only occasionally mentioned when you need to bring out how the Lord is the one holding it together. Otherwise, generally, you just go from mahatattva to pradhan. Right? Like that. And the last ingredient feature of material manifestation into the super soul. Footnote 17. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. He merges the mind along with all material desires into the moon god. He merges intelligence along with its objects into Lord Brahma. He merges false ego along with material activities into Rudra, since actions are preceded by false identity of me and mine. Because unless you have me and mine, you can't do material activities. He should merge Chitta along with consciousness into Vasudeva, the presiding deity of Chitta. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Chitta and false identity of me and mine, wouldn't be the same?
No, that means you have the polluted consciousness, but it's polluted by I and mine. But I and mine is false ego. So Vasudeva is the Chitta. So when he says that here, and then in this case, according to the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, so then when you're saying material consciousness should be merged in the individual, okay, no, he said living being. But he's saying from there, then it should be merged into Vasudeva. So he's showing how it goes back farther. He should merge the Jiva along with the Devatas into the Brahman. The Devatas, except for Vasudeva, are products of the Gunas. Thus, Vasudeva does not merge into Brahman. Because Brahman is simply his effulgence. So all this goes back into Brahman. So all these different ideas of the individualness of the material manifestations, that's all just variety of Brahman. Right? So, but that Brahman is resting on Vasudeva. So that means that's because there's real variety. But the variety here is considered unreal. Not that it doesn't exist, but it's unreal because it's temporary. It changes, it's not there. And the eternal, the fact that doesn't change is the point of the universal form. So that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Piridakshaya Vishnu. So that aspect then, that's the one that is steady. But even that merges back into the Lord. Right? Because it's only creating material variety. Yes.
Back to Chitta. Chitta is polluted by false ego.
Yeah.
So how do we differentiate between them? What would be other components in Chitta that don't exist in false ego?
Your conscious. I and mine is just a false identity, but you have to have consciousness to actually be able to use it. Just like if you're not conscious, can you use your blender?
No.
No. So, unless you're conscious, how do you use I and mind?
And where do mind and intelligence come into the picture?
Which picture?
False ego and chitta.
Means then, after that, then, because you have the conscious of I and mind, mm-hmm. or I'm the controller and enjoyer, then you have to actually be able to apply that.
So chitta, false ego, and then mind.
Yes, it just comes down like that. So that's why if you change the identity that I am the servant of Krishna and developing love for Krishna is the goal, right? Or I belong to Krishna.
So you reverse it.
Then you reverse the process that you're starting from here because you take it back to its original. But it means it doesn't come this way. Material life is manifest because of I and mind. There's no I and mind, there is no material life. That's why then we see in so many verses and purports that it makes the point that the devotee is liberated because they're not functioning. We take it, oh, but if you have the material body and that, you can't be liberated. But that's the impersonal, that's the mundane concept. That's why we say only having Brahman or Paramatma realization without Bhagavan realization is actually coming from polluted consciousness. Because the fact is Bhagavan is there. That gives the proper meaning and understanding to Paramatma and Brahman. Right? But otherwise, if we don't see them in the context of Bhagavan, we don't fully understand them. Right? So, from these incomplete understandings of the Lord and applying those into the world, then we think that if there's any form or activity or experience, that is mundane. So, we don't understand the principles that how you can be liberated while within this body. But the point is if you're identifying that I'm servant of Krishna, I'm not the enjoyer. You know, it's about Krishna's enjoyment. Right? Then, where's the question of material? Because material means it's about the secondary without connection to Krishna. But if you see the secondary connected to Krishna, that's the spiritual world. It just may be the spiritual world manifest within inferior energy. Because it's the Sarup Shakti. So the Sarup Shakti can manifest in either side. You know, it's just like you have your you know, living room that's all nicely decorated, and then you have the garage. But it's not that the person can't walk out into his garage. Does that make sense? You know, so generally in the garage you take care of garage stuff. But let's say you're in the garage and one of your friends walks by, it's not that you can't be friendly and nice in your garage. So Yoga Maya therefore can function within the material environment because the material environment is her environment, it's part of hers. It's Rup Shakti means internal, external, and jiva. That's the complete energy. So the external is part of the shadow. So she can function in the office of Yoga Maya even within the external energy. Because it's external energy, that's not what the illusion is. That we think it's separate from Krishna, that's the illusion. But when we're in the spiritual world and we don't see things connected to Krishna, we're in the material world. We're in because we're in material consciousness. So material world is consciousness, not a place. But because the spiritual world is meant for those who are going to use it properly, then those individuals who see things materially are removed from that environment. Just like in the society, those who are criminals are removed from the general environment and placed in their own environment. So in the same way, the living entities who don't see things connected to Krishna are removed from that spiritual environment and placed in the material environment. But it's not that you don't have people from outside the prison. They can't come in and do something in the prison. They're still not part of the prison. You know what I'm saying? The pastor comes to the prison and he does his pastor stuff. He's not part of the prison scene. He's independent. But you could say, no, but he's here in the prison along with us. Therefore, he's you know, conditioned. How can you say he's liberated? Because his consciousness is not there and he can walk out whenever he's ready. Does that make sense? So this overlap, this is why we're saying is that the ability to see things logically and deal with the external energy or just deal with mechanics and application of these mechanics and gaining results of these mechanics, that's not a problem. That, you know, this knowledge, this skills, these things are good to know, but only in support of the primary, which is understanding relationships with the Lord. That's why then, when we take some points being made on a more transcendental position and then only look at the secondary aspect of it, it's not a complete approach. We'll think, oh, this is scientific. Yeah, but then the animals are scientific, right? You know, you bring something and you hold it in front of their nose, what's the first thing they do? Apply science and sniff it. And then from sniffing it, then they analyze it. And then after analyzing it, they either, you know, bite it along with your fingers, or they turn their nose to something else more important. Yeah, more. Yeah, that has more scientific potential. You understand? So this whole thing of science from this platform is so overrated. All it is just sophisticated animals. as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, you have the animalist, self-centered animalistic person, which then we'll all say is not very cultured. But then you have sophisticated individuals within that. You know, someone like a connoisseur, not just a sophisticated animal. That's all. Does that make sense? So unless there's some higher cultural element to it, or aspect of dharma, or knowledge, or bhakti, then all it is they're a fancy animal. You know? Like the swans, they'll only swim in nice clean lakes and lotuses, and very beautiful. And the crows, you don't see crows there. That's the fun part. You know, because there's no garbage. So.
Kolkata?
Yes, now that they'll be swimming through the
yes,
ocean
exactly.
of garbage in Calcutta, yes. They say. Yes.
So this particular process, you know, of reverse engineering, where one element is not is being not followed by the devotees. When they have to
return. No, the devotees are following that.
No, I'm just saying technically, you know, merging mind into this. Like,
but what's the mind for? Who's in control of the mind?
Who's in control of the mind?
Yeah.
We are controlling.
Yes, so that's not then understanding how it goes back to Aniruddha?
Yes, of course.
It's just if we don't sit down in yoga asan, you know, and then, you know, holding the breath, then do all this, then we're not doing this? Yes. Otherwise, what do you do with your false ego?
Because devotees aren't aware of this, you know, that's the reason.
They don't know that I'm not this body and all that supposed to be given up.
Yes, but the merging part I'm speaking of marriage. They say that we bypass and...
Yes, because, you're taking it by, unless there's an external mechanical method being used, we're not using it.
Yes.
But the point is the subtler aspects of it are being used. That's what we're doing. If you're seeing everything as Brahman, everything as the Lord's in everything, and that, have you not accomplished the last ingredient feature of the material manifestation of the super soul?
Yes.
So then? Right? Okay. Yeah.
Can we say?
That's why we're saying is that the devotees are the greatest scholar. We're taking that, but we're not as academically scholarly. We have to understand that this kind of thought, though it does have a value on the social context for social interaction, is actually a material disease. Right? And the problem with diseases, they happen to just go anywhere and everywhere. And if the balance of the modes of nature is off in a certain way, we can get the disease. You understand? Just like physically, if the mucus bile and air are imbalanced, then whichever diseases match that imbalance, that's the ones that come up. So in the same way is that with the modes of nature, if we're not seeing everything in connection with the Lord, depending upon what modes are there, we get affected by those, you know, diseases of the mind and intelligence and consciousness. So this idea that, unless we're professional, unless we're academic, unless we're intellectual, unless we're scholarly, then we're not going to be respected in this world. That's a disease. It has to be given up. Because the point is that, how you say, even these academics amongst themselves, how often do they like each other? How often do they actually respect someone else from the academy? Most of it is just social. That you respect them socially so that you don't get, you know, blackballed. You understand? But in reality, do they actually like it? You know? So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? So, then the whole point comes down to is that this is not the this is not the highest. We've decided this is the highest because this fits within our concepts of anamoy and pranamoy. Because the idea is that the Brahman, because of his understanding of Brahman, that makes him the highest. Then we're not into that. We're into knowledge and skills. And so if you have knowledge and skills, then you're advanced. Yeah. Like I remember seeing on the board once, I think it was in the Manor in London, you know, the bulletin board, about the Bhakti Shastri class would be run by Bhaktin something, like that. And so one of the temple devotees there says, but why not this other devotee? Because he's, you know, he's been in the temple for the last 20, 30 years, more senior and all that. And then they said, no, he's not qualified to run the course because he didn't do that particular teacher training course, that 10-day course. But this Bhaktin, who's only been a devotee 6 months, has already did it, so she'll be teaching the Bhakti Shastri course. But this other devotee who's there and gives the classes and does all the things, he's not qualified. This is a disease. Nothing less. It's a disease. Because we think, because I've done this academic skill and knowledge, now I'm qualified. No, you have devotion, you're qualified. Right? Otherwise, Gotama's son, who is Sosa, Gotama, he's smart, right? Everybody's going to ignore him. His son, just as smart, but he didn't understand transcendence. He only understood second. So you could say he was a real bona fide smarta, that guy. Right? But his false ego was so great, he thought he was so qualified. He could not understand the advanced nature of Janaka Rishi, one of the 12 Mahajans. And all these other great sages. He thought they were being insulting because they were talking about higher things. Right? So it's a disease. Right? So that's a, what was it called? Bhava Rog. Right? It's called, we can say, why you're calling it a disease? Because that's what the Shastra says. It's called Bhava Rog. The idea that the material world has something serious to offer, either in karma or jnana. So we have to be very, very careful about this. So, but it's not that devotees aren't scholars and don't study and know. But it's not because they've memorized this or know that, that that's what makes it. It's because they've tried to apply it through the process of manana in Krishna's service. Krishna being pleased with that consistent application then reveals himself to them. That revelation, now that's their qualification. So, you might find somebody who has a very small amount of, let's say, academic understanding, but he's applying that and he has realization. He's actually more qualified than the person with great academic, you know, knowledge and all that. Does that make sense? So that's why devotional service is so not understood. And then why we have to... why then it doesn't make sense. We want something that's just very nice and clear. Like, remember in the 90s it came up, you have to do all the thing of, you know, what's your mission statement and the goal, you know, what is it, your goals, objectives, and all, you know, what's the objective of this and that. But you can't object to the objectives. Like that's not on the table. So the whole point is nice, but where's the connection through to Krishna? Okay, I want to get this done in this class. But then, where's the connection to Krishna? Oh, of course, we're devotees, it's connected, but where is it? You can't explain that. Are you really knowledgeable? Are you really accomplishing something? So that's the whole thing. Now, if you can add that to that and make it more efficient, great. But simply applying the secondary without the primary, you know, in other words, we're fully focused on the secondary, but no focus on the primary. How efficient is that? Now, if we're fully focused on the primary, not so aware of the secondary, it still works. The Python Sadhu is lying there, full focus on the primary. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, comes to see him. So it can't be all bad.
Oh. Something
like that. You know, it's just even the story of Gotama, it's not in Bhagavatam. You know, the story of Nala and Damayana, it's not in Bhagavatam. They're just upfront materialists, very good in their field. Right? You know, academic like that, don't get better than Gotama's son. You know, Nala and Damayanti, you don't get more of they make Romeo and Juliet look, you know, sad. You know, that's a romantic story. You know, but it's not here because there's no connection through. So we can say, well, it's for Krishna. Yes, but it should be conscious of that. You know, just like the guys running around making all the nice detailed arrangements for the, for whatever it is, the anniversary or something like that, completely ignoring his wife. But the details are so perfect. Is she going to be happy? No. So that's the whole point, is that how we're going to actually be Krishna conscious if we only see the secondary and don't see the primary. Right? Now, when we start devotional service, of course, because of we, as we defined before what conditioning is, we only see the secondary. But because we're using secondary connected to Krishna, we are advancing. So yes, that's good, but we have to understand that's a beginning stage. So we can't claim I'm more advanced in devotional service because my technical knowledge and skills has increased. What about that consciousness of Krishna? That's what it's called. It's an international society for Krishna consciousness, not international society for being, you know, really good at, you know, following all kinds of knowledge and skills, you know, ideally Vedic, but hey, you know, we're Yukta Vairagyas, we'll take anything. You know, as long as we can get some session, as long as we can get some, you know, social respect out of it and all that, then we're good. Right?
Doesn't roll off the tongue in the same way.
No, it's a bit long. Yeah, you know, and if you did it into, you know, how you say it?
Yeah,
you know, the abbreviated and that, it'd still be too long. Still. So you'd have to, yes.
Yeah. It needs a little work.
So?
I also that in Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, there are so many examples of controversial devotees, like the illiterate Brahmana, Haridas, Thakur.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can understand.
So we're just taking what we're learning in the ninth canto, and then just taking it further. See, the whole point is that because we work on, it's about the logistics of how well you applied secondary knowledge, that that's going to get us secondary results, and that's what's going to make us happy. You know, that's what's going to make us happy. Because that's what the material world is. And these are the smart ones. Right, there's the dumb ones who, you know, besides not even looking at the primary, they don't even understand the secondary. So they're really just awash in the modes of nature and however it's going to work out. So then, yeah, how did you get into that? Yes, so then, but because we are doing like that, then there is the aspects that we're doing things where we have our sadhana and everything like that. But you notice the things that, like Raghunath Das Goswami, his sadhana is fixed in stone. So it's these aspects of the directness of devotional service, the conscious and remembering Krishna, that's the thing that's fixed. We can't say that the material energy is fixed. That's not going to work. Because it generally has a tendency to not be overly fixed, you know, as straws that come together in a river for some time and then they separate. That's the way it works. It's designed. So, we may start with that and we're trying to regulate that. So that becomes steady. But from our secondary viewpoint, as we become more mature, more sophisticated, we have to be careful not to make the mistake that developing the secondary, that's the real symptom of Krishna consciousness. So it's just an indication of how focused you are. Just like, let's say, for the businessman, right? You come and you apply for a job, right? So you have your 4 years of, you know, degree, and you have this much, you know, this or that, you know, like that. And he looks at all that. And so then we're worried that, oh, this is what's going to impress him, or this or that, or so many things. Technically speaking, none of that impresses him, because you'll use absolutely none of that on the job, because what they teach at the university has absolutely nothing to do with the reality of what goes on in the economic world. Right? But what he's looking at is you were able to focus for 4 years and do the same thing, and, you know, apply yourself, good grades, that means you have the potential to apply yourself within the business. That's what he's looking at. So if he had met you as a, you know, a kid in high school and he was thought you were clever and this and that, he would have given you a job then. So we have the idea, basically coming from the Shudra mentality, that our knowledge and skills is everything, and that's what's important. Like that. That's what's the difficulty. We take it that this professional aspect, you know, but we're talking about that, you know, because that knowledge, that's what makes them higher. But the actual point is, it's not the knowledge and skills, it's the wisdom in which you apply the knowledge and skills that makes the difference between all the guys with knowledge and skills. Does that make sense? So that's the higher principle. The character, the consciousness, all these things, these are actually more important because they're higher. But we tend to not look at those things. That's the difficulty. That's just because that's how we've been looking at things since time immemorial, so we shouldn't be surprised or upset. It's just that this is what you have to deal with. Right? You know, it's just like if every day you sit down at the couch, drink your soft drink, and then toss it over the back of the couch. You shouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, 2,000 cans behind your couch. You just deal with it. You know, go get yourself a bucket or wheelbarrow, whatever will fit through the door, and start, you know, getting rid of it. You know, is that amazing? So it's not it's just a matter of now you know what's wrong, so now you know what to deal with. So then we understand what's there. Otherwise, we see again and again that it's being applied means that the residents of Vrindavan, that they're just simple, you know, cowherd villagers. Right? They're not even city cowherds. They're village cowherds. But the knowledge they have, the realization is so much greater than others. Right? Because they know actually what it's for. And so then they're able to deal with what's going on, even if they don't know necessarily that particular subject matter. Yeah, so that aspect, that's what we're trying to get used to. So that's why then there's all these things that it shows that, yes, the knowledge and skills are there, but actually it's the devotion. So then you have these examples that just totally break down our idea of the externals. But then it doesn't mean, oh, so I can do anything I want. No, it's about the devotion. Because we can say, but these, then they'll set a bad example. No, but their example is their devotion. So then you have to follow that devotion to that level. Then if you're following or not what everybody else is doing, then that's another thing. But they're within a context that we can digest. That's why they're given. Context that we can't digest, that we're not exposed to. You know, like Bhamsi Das Babaji Maharaj. Like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, except for one disciple, he wouldn't let any of them go see him. Even though he was, you know, the example is given, he was on that same platform of realization like Sanatana Goswami. He's talking with the deities, and he was also in that same parental rasa. And he would talk with the deities and everything and interact with them in that way. So the point is that we wouldn't be able to understand. You know, does that make sense? We wouldn't be able to appreciate. Because we look at the externals as a symptom of the internal. And for us as sadhakas, it is. But it's not that it's the sadhana that makes us advance. It's the determination to surrender to Krishna, that vyadasayatmika buddhi. And then, because it's been recommended to follow the sadhana, that's why we're doing it. So that's normal. But what I'm talking about is the disease, this bhava rog, is that we think it's the technicality of it, the mechanic, that's what makes it advanced. No, it's because of the focus on Krishna, that's what makes the advancement. So naturally, if you have more, you know, potential and knowledge and skills, and you use that for Krishna, that's natural. But the point is it doesn't matter. We take it, oh, you don't need any of that. And so we don't even study, we don't even do that. Oh, no, but unless you have, you know, unless you're professional, then that's not going to come up to the standard. So it's neither of them. The point is you're Krishna conscious, that's the main thing, and then according to your individual nature, you apply yourself how you can. Some people will study and know more, some will know less. But, you know, it's like Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj. He couldn't even read. So he had books, but he'd have other people, they come and visit, can we do some service? Yeah, here, read me this. And so he didn't even bother to read. You know, like that, because there's plenty of people to read it for. And plus he remembers it, so it's not a matter, it's not that he, you know, it's not that he has a goldfish memory or something. Yeah, so you're absorbed in Krishna, then you know Krishna, you know everything. So it's just, it's so nice, he likes to hear it again and again. So that's the glory of Krishna Katha. So it's just a matter, we have to know where we're applying. That's the difference, is yes, there is an expectation, but same point is then, there is the element is that we have to understand that that's not actually the main thing. You know, like Prabhupada's saying, you know, if Westerners don't do something big, then what's the point of them being Westerners? That's only because they identify, we have to do something big. So they do something big for Krishna, that's great. But if they just do something big and Krishna's not involved, then so what? Is it as big as, you know, some of the other things? You know, so, like that. Anything? Yeah. Good? Yes.
I remember that in Lord Chaitanya's pastime there was one devotee who was very good with dealing with money. And so Lord Chaitanya asked someone else to look after his finances. So it seems somewhat sometimes we do try to find someone who is good at certain things.
Means the devotee who was good at finances, Lord Chaitanya asked him to look after his finances.
Yes.
But, yes, but the point is now, is Lord Chaitanya interested in his finances or is he interested in the devotion? It's not a trick question. Okay, so that means this Kayastha was devotional. Right? He didn't go. Lord Chaitanya didn't go down to Goldman and Sachs and then, you know, open an account because they're the best. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how it relates to that example that you made, that devotee who was very experienced, or you know, he has been practicing for a long time. But
this is the time when I lean over and hit my head on the tape. Did you catch the point about primary and secondary? So the primary is what's important, the secondary is supportive. Therefore, if the primary is there, then if you have the ability, you will naturally develop the secondary, because then the quality of offering to Krishna is improved. Right? Now, let's say you have a good potential in cooking, but it's your devotion that's more important than your technical ability to cook. And now if the devotion is there, naturally you want to cook the best for Krishna, so you'll cultivate your cooking ability. But if you just cook, you develop your cooking ability and not your devotion, Krishna's not interested in your cooking, because, how you say, Radharani and Mother Yashoda and Rohini are, you know, how you say, quadrillions of times better anyway. So we always have to remember Krishna is surrounded by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, and they're all rendering really nice service. So we can assist. So we assist in whatever level can be done. So it's not that I'm doing more, that's better. It's a matter of whatever works. That didn't make sense? Do you understand this balance? So you have to be able to use the two together. It's not that it's this or it's that. That's the problem. That's the disease. Because if it's only the devotion, we don't care about the shastra, we don't care about all these rituals, we don't care about all that, it's called sahajya. And no, it's all about the rule and this and that and that kind of thing like that, and if you don't do that, then that's not devotion. Right? You know, the pujari, who's been a pujari like forever, and then he does something stupid with one of the ladies who comes and cleans, you know, in the pujari room. And then what's the standard thing that devotees will say? Oh, he was never a Brahmin. It's like, how can they say that? What based on what? Because it's all or nothing. So we have to understand the application of the Hollywood, you know, measurement of excellence is limited. You know, yeah, at best, because, you know, in that case, then only one person in one category can actually be good, and everybody else didn't make it. In a sense. So that's the whole thing, is that devotional service means it's the devotion that's the main aspect. Then, what skills and knowledge you engage to express that devotion, that's individual. So someone may be more or less. Right? So if you have the skill to do something better for Krishna, why wouldn't you? But if you think it's because you're better at the skill, that's why you're better than anybody else, then there's no need for your service. Better you go wash some pots or something. How you say, clean the toilet with a toothbrush. You know? Keep you busy for a while.
Not your own toothbrush.
No, and not someone else's toothbrush. Oh, sure. Yeah, their old toothbrush. Does this make sense? Yeah, we have to be able to distinguish between this primary aspect of pure devotion and the secondary aspects that we use to express. Does that make sense? Because that's the whole thing. That's why, okay, now if it's, how you say, Rembrandt or, how you say, Monet or, Monet, guys like this, that's good. Right? You wouldn't mind that on your wall, right? Or let's say, you know, your, you know, 4-year-old kid drew you a nice drawing, you know, there's the house and mommy and daddy and the sun and, you know, some birds and the water and all that. That also goes right on the fridge. Anything in between does not go. So what's the point? In other words, why is it that someone else has, he went to the school, he did all the things, it's technically perfect. There's no flaw in it technically. But it doesn't have the mood, there's no expression. So nobody's interested. Right? So that means it is the mood that's the most important, not the technical skill, because we see the child has done something, the mood is there. Have you ever noticed that when little kids draw Krishna or Jagannath or Radha, even if it's a stick drawing, they're so alive. The mood is so good. You understand? So that's the main thing. Their technical skill to express it is not so great, but the point is the mood is right, it's good. You understand? That's what we have to get used to. This whole professionalization of the society, it's like, you know, nice if the devotion is great, but if we're going to exchange the direct activities for these secondary and then say that this is more advanced, this is more proper, then we haven't missed the point that Prabhupada made in the Acharyas. You know, it's like 180 degrees we've missed the point. And I don't think you can miss it more than that. Unless, of course, you go around in 360, but unless you do it 480 degrees, yeah, that could, yeah, you know, something like that.
Revolution.
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's what revolution means.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
so
then it means that you hit it at some point, and then you miss it again.
Yeah, but then that's even worse. It's just like the yogis, they meditate on super soul and then merge. That's worse than the impersonals who don't even know it exists. Yeah, so.
But all within the category of not good.
Yeah, no, it's all, it's. So that's the whole point, is that that's why it says razor's edge. There's one degree that's the razor's edge, and then there are 359 that are not. So that's why we have to be very exact. But we spend the time being very exact about knowledge and skills on the modern context. But so what? You know, the professionals are way more professional than we're professional.
We show up at time.
Yeah, we're there on time. Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. You're not just by chance. I haven't been offending you because you're a professional. Okay. One time I said all these heavy things about someone came, and I don't know them, and they just presented that they were just asking some questions on behalf of someone else.
Yes,
and they asked a few points on are we training our kids so they could become lawyers? Oh, boy, I was so heavy about it. And then afterwards I find out they're lawyers. Yeah, so you just sometimes want to, wait. Yeah, they were not happy. Yes.
I would just say that this is an element of laziness that we have, that we don't make that step beyond time and space. We don't actually want to make that.
I would say it's more we don't want to. So it's you could say aggressive laziness. It's not just lazy that he's, just unaware. It's actually he's aware of what he doesn't want to do. So it's more like the kid who does not want to clean his room. It's not that he's just wallowing there in, unlimited messiness. It's that he actually does not want to clean it up.
Can we call him Naradama?
Naradama, yeah. That's the, technically, yes. That's the mentality. But we generally avoid that discussion. To someone who has, in other words, someone who has that knowledge and skills to be very professional, and they don't use it for Krishna or actually oppose the elements of Krishna consciousness, that makes a Naradama. Because otherwise, you generally take it by logic that the muda is the lowest. But they're not, because they're just so ignorant they don't even know. But the Naradama is someone who's very sophisticated, considers themselves sophisticated and educated, and then they use that against Krishna consciousness. So they're the lowest. Yes.
Therefore, in this discussion, it's all about vision and values.
Yes, yes. You have to, you have to put it all together.
It's not one or the other.
No, you have to use them both. You have to use them both. So that's the whole thing. In other words, the natural position is full Krishna consciousness being expressed through the fullness of your abilities. But of the two, then better Krishna consciousness over abilities. Now, if you don't have any context of Krishna consciousness, you use your abilities in Krishna's service. But that will purify you, so then you'll become conscious of Krishna. Now you can be conscious while you apply your abilities. That's why we see someone who is professional, but not a devotee, and we invite them in to do something within the society, you generally see is they can't really get anything done. Or they come along, they bring them to the meeting, it was a fabulous meeting and this and that, are they back next year? And even if they are next year, the year after that, you don't see them again. Because they can't actually function. They can't relate. They don't understand how things work. Because the point is, professional means you're following systems that have been acknowledged at present. That is the latest understanding of how to apply the techniques of the laws of nature. Right? That's considered professional. Because what's professional today then previously wasn't professional. Even though at that time they were called the professionals. Right? And so, but the point is, devotees know the lawmaker. So that's actually higher. Because whatever you say today is professional, tomorrow is not professional. Before, a professional, the cool guy, doesn't care for anybody, just gets his stuff done, and, he's the man, he's going to get it and all that. That was really big before. Since a long time like that, but only recently now, you have to be a bit metro, otherwise you're just too aggressive and rough and all that. So that's not the professional look anymore. You know what I'm saying? So now it's that's the whole point, is whatever you say is professional today, by the time you practice it and become professional, that's not professional anymore. That's the difficulty. So better folks, since you're going to spend so much time anyway. In other words, you need 10,000 hours to become expert anyway. So why not focus that 10,000 hours to become conscious of Krishna? And if along with that you can develop your skills, great. But if you've only developed skills and not Krishna consciousness, then it's a waste of time. That's why the Bhagavatam says it's useless. And who's saying it? People who are Krishna conscious and expert. They all say it's useless. So it's not just, oh yeah, the guy that couldn't make it, he all says that, you know, it's not the sour grapes guy. You know, we're talking about those who are the best in not only the universe, but even in the cosmos, then they say it's a waste of time. So, okay, we're still on that. I am this body, and everything connected with this body is mine. So it generates a good discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, then, samshaya. Okay, the doubt. How does non-dual Brahman exist since earth and other material elements still exist? Huh? We haven't read what?
It's
17. 17 is at the bottom, at the end of that purport at Super Soul.
Yes.
That I know of, we already read the first paragraph.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just finished with 7.21 Sutra 1.11. We're going to start. So
no, but we didn't do the Samshaya and Siddhanta.
We didn't.
So we're starting now.
Samshaya.
Yeah.
We're starting with Samshaya.
Yes.
We're good?
Sutra Prakashika.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
No.
Sutra Prakashika.
No.
No, but we didn't finish the footnote.
Yeah.
No. Yes. No.
Science.
Yes. Yes?
We did.
The first. We're on Samshaya.
Yeah.
Because Samshaya is connected with the upper... See, we haven't even gotten to Srimad Bhagavatam 7.12.31.
No.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Huh?
Samshaya.
Okay, yes.
I remember one class we went backwards in the study material, actually.
Yeah?
Because we had to make like a connection between something that was said before, and then it spawned the whole issue, and then we stopped there.
Okay. At least like when they hike the ball in the behind lines. Okay. Samshaya. How does non-dual Brahman exist since earth and other material elements still exist? Siddhanta. These will also be merged. Thus, earth merges into water. Water merges into fire. He merges fire into air, right? Because you've done all these other things before, right? All these subtle points that are there. With the mind, the ego, the consciousness, these things you've already merged. But then point becomes, well, but if everything's non-dual, what about the earth, you know, the Mahabhutas and that? So then he's saying, no, these are also merged. That's why you see he goes through and merges the one. Then he goes back and then merges there. Because you say, oh, you do all that. There are times where they do and they go up through that and then merge them as they come along. But here he started with the most important, so you have the proper consciousness. So then the other things merging will be easy. Like that. Okay. He merges fire into air. He merges air into ether. He merges ether into ahankar and merges ahankar into mahatattva. He merges mahatattva into pradhan. He merges pradhan into paramatma. Sardartha Darshani 7.12.29.30. Right. So, therefore, that's why you see it split in this way, because some places it doesn't split it. It'll just go up, and when it gets to mind, it will deal with it. When it gets to that, it'll deal with it. But the problem is you have to have the proper consciousness to be able to merge the earth back into the fire, or into the water, right? So, therefore, then, in this case, Bhagavatam here, in this discussion, then that's been merged first, right? So the subtlest elements have been merged first. Having done that, then we go back and merge the gross, because the gross comes from the subtle. So if the subtle's been done, the gross is easy to deal with. Does that make sense? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.